Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Well, I know Carver High's excited about the new clock here on the show in terms of how we follow the clock, because he used to say to me that, you know, it's great that from like, what is it? What was it like from, how did it go? Like from 57 to 9 or something, I was on for 3 minutes. And it was like, how many minutes of not being on was it? And how many of being on was it? Do you remember?
There was a little bit of a break. But now, two after, we're ready to rock. I forget what the exact mileage was in terms of. I think it was 3 out of 15 or somewhere around there. 3 out of 12. Yeah, 3 out of 12 might have been it.
So I was on for 3 minutes, and there was 9 minutes of not being on and 3 minutes of being on at the top of the hour, which is, you know, for me, strange, because you always, you know, start the show at the top of the hour and start rocking and rolling, right? And that's how you do it. And then we didn't do it that way for a long while here. And now Carver High has, you know, when I was only on for 3 minutes of the nine, or nine off, three on of the 12 minutes, Carver High refused during that time period to brush his teeth or eat food. So he hadn't eaten or brushed his teeth in like 10, 12 months of every night, me not being on, us not being on, them not being on, or whatever. We're not used to that, but now we're really starting to step up our game here at Sports Grid Radio, because now we do it like normal. We're on right away, which is very exciting. I know the first night I did it, I think it was with you, Carver High, you reminded me, don't forget we're on at 2 minutes after now. So
yes,
I sent you
a couple of texts. I said, just make sure you're up there. We started 2 now, not 6. So come on.
So Saturday night in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World, great fight, welterweight championship of the world. Our boy, Errol the Truth Spence. I will never forget the name Errol because of Errol Garner, the great jazz pianist back in the day, way back in the day in like the 50s, 40s and 50s. This guy could really, there was never a jazz pianist better than Errol Garner. the best ever. So Errol Spence, the great welterweight undefeated champion, is finally getting back in the ring and fighting the welterweight championship of the world against Danny Swift Garcia, Philadelphia's finest, with his crazy trainer father, Angel, who never stops talking and guaranteeing things that never come to pass, but he's half nuts, which is awesome. Now, here's the deal. I saw Danny Garcia lose his only two fights of his career. I was there to see him lose to Keith Thurman, and I saw him lose to Sean Porter, right? I also saw Errol Spence beat Sean Porter in the fight of the year in 2019, right? So what do you think is going to happen when Errol Spence fights Danny Garcia? Now, some people have said, including Bud Crawford, that Danny Garcia hasn't beat anybody in the welterweight division. And he's just insignificant. And you know what I like about T-Bud is that he is the pound-for-pound king right now, if you ask me. And when he calls you out, he means business. He's like, yeah, he sucks. So he hadn't beat anybody. So let's just leave him off the conversation. Thanks. And then, you know that Spence, Crawford wants to fight him. And then I think Spence is afraid of Crawford because, you know, we waited long enough for that. So I don't know what they're waiting for. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west, on Sports Grid Radio tonight. Good to have you with us. And Mightier 1090 in San Diego and Southern California. Don't forget, January 7th, we take over Channel 204 on Sirius XM, my old stomping grounds. So that'll be very exciting. Look forward to that, January 7th on Sirius XM. Good to have you with us on all of our radio affiliates everywhere on the bench tonight on Sports Grid Radio. All right. So anyway, Saturday night, order the fight on Fox Pay-Per-View. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be an awesome fight. Although I do believe Spence will take out Danny Garcia. I will not deny that Danny Garcia has a chin, that he has, skills, that he's a great counterpuncher. He's very deliberate. He waits for your mistake, and then he pounces. Problem is, with that, and Carver High knows it's true, Errol Spence doesn't make mistakes. That's it. It's just, you know, he's not fighting bums like when he let's just face facts. I saw him beat Robert Guerrero, right? It's the only guy he beat in the welterweight division, and Robert Guerrero was finished when Garcia fought him, and the ghost is, you know, still fighting now, and he's finished, and everybody knows it, right? You know that's true, Carver High. So he beat him, but he could, you know, pounce on that guy's mistakes because he makes them. Guys like Errol Spence don't make mistakes like that and leave themselves open for that abuse and those shots. I will say this, Danny can knock out anyone. He can, you know, he could be the one guy that lands a punch that knocks out Errol Spence. It could happen because all it takes is one bomb, and he has the ability to throw bombs. So Danny's going to throw some bombs in that fight. Problem is, Spence just rakes points and rakes rounds. So he works. So he's not in there. He's not boring. Spence is in there just, you know, raking points and getting it on and you know, stacking points and winning rounds. So you're dealing with, you better hurry up. You better, you know, pick your spots and throw some bombs because you're not going to have many chances to land them. Saturday night, call your cable operator, welterweight championship. Order the fight. Spence and Garcia, the Saturday from Dallas. When we come back, we'll talk bad about Paul George.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Later, Joe Lisi will join us to talk college football and set you up for this weekend's games, right? And then right now, I just wanted to talk about this Paul George guy. Are you kidding me, Carver High, this guy? Like, I saw him do this, and I didn't listen to the whole thing because I don't want to listen to the whole thing. I really have no interest in what Paul George has to say about anything. But I saw a clip of it where he was, like, acting all cool with these dudes. I think it's Barnes and Steven Jackson, right? They do a Up in Smoke or something, or something like that. That's what is it called? All the Smoke or something
all
like
up
that.
Up in Smoke. Cheech and Chong?
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, I don't know the name of it, so it is what it is. So he was on with them, and he was chilling out, and I saw him, like, you know, laying back, and he was, like, all cool. And, like, I'm going to show the YouTube audience right now. If you're on just radio right now, just picture this. Like, I'm going to try to be as cool. Yeah, All the Smoke is what it's called. There you go. Very popular. And then here's what he looked like on the set, just for the YouTubers that are watching right now. Here we go. He says, yeah, I just want to talk about my game a little bit. Just want to talk about my game because, you know, my game is so, you know, I need more pick and roll. I need more, you know, mid-range. I need more looks and touches. I need that corner stroke. I got to get that ball in, you know, cutting down the paint. I got to come off the weak side. I got to get that pick and roll, some more looks. My game's inside, outside. I got to get that flavor from outside. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're the absolute worst player ever. Have you ever seen anyone melt down worse than this clown? Did you see this guy in the Clippers playoff games in the bubble, how bad he was? I mean, honestly, I shoot the ball better than this guy. You can laugh all you want. I stroke it from everywhere. I can stroke from everywhere. I can stick it in from anywhere, and everybody knows it that I play with. I don't miss. Like, you know, I'll sit there and, you know, we do this thing where I train in the morning where we shoot hundreds of threes, right? We just shoot hundreds of them. And we sit and you hit three in the corner, three on the wing, three at the top of the key, three on the other wing, three in the corner, and you go back and forth. Then you do three slide, step back, three, pump fake, step back, slide, you know, all these shots, right? And, like, if I miss three in a row, it's like the end of the world, okay? Because I don't miss three in a row. I'll stick one of the three or two of the three every time. And, I mean, literally. And then Mafia played with me in the league. I led the league in three-point percentage. I'm 55 years old, and I lead the league in three-point percentage. So, believe me, when I shoot threes, I hit them. I watched this guy, Paul George, and I'm not even kidding. And believe me, Paul George dunk in my face. He would absolutely smoke me. He would light me up like a bong. But the reality is, I'm not kidding. This guy couldn't hit the ocean from the beach. Did you watch him? And everyone in LA right now, you know it. You know that he sucks. You know you got fleeced for this guy. You know you got him on your team now. He's like, you know what he's like? He's like a fat girlfriend. Like, what is that guy's game in the playoffs? It was so pathetic. It wasn't even funny. And listen, you know what he did? It wasn't that he acted all cool in the interview. It was that he blamed his game on Doc Rivers. It wasn't that he was like, yo, man, I need more pick and rolls, more touches. I need more mid-range. I got to get that three clean. You got to find me in a corner clean. That's my J, son, that mid-range or that three deep corner. That's my game. You got to get me the pill off the weak side. You got to find me. I got to get some buckets inside, outside. I got to get some low post. I got to get some stuff in the paint, in the block. I got to get some reverses. No, what he did was, in this interview, he went on record as saying the reason why he sucks so bad is because of Doc Rivers not giving him the right types of touches. Carver, you saw it. Did this guy not blame Doc Rivers for his absolute utter failure as a player in the big time moments? Let's face facts. He is, without a doubt, a guy that can, there's no doubt he can play. There's no doubt he could have good nights and that he can light it up and get hot and streaky, get hot and pour in 35. There's no doubt he can do it. But I got to tell you, the proof's in the pudding. That more often than not, because he has had big games, but more often than not, he has sucked. More often than not, he has done absolutely nothing in Indy, in Oak City, and in L.A. with the Clippers. He went to the Clippers. You would have thought that they found Jesus when he went to the Clippers, right? Kawhi and PG, automatic. They're going to win the NBA championship, right? Were the Clippers the only team that could beat the Lakers, right? Everybody said the Clippers were the team. Clippers are unstoppable because they got Kawhi and PG. That's it.
Yeah.
And Paul George brought the Clippers down by himself. The reason why the Clippers got eliminated in the playoffs by the Nuggets was because Paul George sucks. In the crunch, in the pressure game, in the moment, in the big game, in when it's all on the line, he sucks. He can't hit anything. He's Brick City. And you know what's funny is like ESPN showed clips of this guy missing shots today. I mean, they got to roll that thing for hours with all the misses he had. Like all his J's he bricked, his threes bricking left and right, hitting the side of the backboard. Are you kidding me? Did anyone watch how bad this guy was in the bubble? Paul George sucks. That's all there is to it. And then he blames Doc Rivers. He literally went on this podcast and blamed Doc Rivers for his weak ass, broke ass, pathetic ass jumper. He ain't got no J. Bro, your game is scrambled eggs. You're a mess, dude. What a wussy you are. You blame your coach? How femmy is that? When is the last time? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Larry Bird blaming his coach because he missed a three? I mean, what kind of a wussy are you, dude? You're just absolutely candy ass. Candy ass. Quote me on that. In L.A., run that to your mother. Tell your mother I said it. You wussy. Your game is so broke ass. Carver, tell me I'm wrong and I'll shut up. You know I'm not wrong. He sucks.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I've always said it about this guy. You brought up the three stops. He's never won anywhere. In India, and there's always an excuse. Now it's Doc with the Clippers. Doc was the excuse this year. In Indiana, it was, well, he didn't have any help. In Oklahoma City, it was, you know, Russ doesn't pass. You know, now you go to the Clippers and it's Doc. There's always an excuse with this guy, just like you mentioned on Coast to Coast today. There's always an excuse with Harden. There's always an excuse with Paul George. There's always, here's another one I heard today. Well, you know, LeBron is always in his way. Like, LeBron was in the East with him and then he went to the West. Shut up about LeBron. I've never seen this dude. Forget, everybody has to chase LeBron. The whole league chases LeBron, okay? This dude, I didn't see this dude get to any conference finals, carry him. He, come on. This guy is, listen, he's a great player, like you said, but he never gets it done in a big spot. He never does. Just like Harden, never gets it done in a big spot.
Do you remember?
Harden's a much better player than him, by the way.
Oh,
I take Harden over PG-13 any day of the week. But it's
the same
situation. Never gets it done in a big spot, and it's always somebody else's fault.
You're right. Please. He's not even in the same area code as Harden as a player. But let me say this, that and I'm going to be as mean as possible when I say this. The best moments of his career were when he broke his leg and he was gone from the league. We didn't have to watch him miss threes. That was the best part of his career. Watching him not play for a year was the best part of his career because we didn't have to watch him brick threes, lose in the playoffs, and then blame everyone around him. Bro, you're just not a winner. You're just simply not a winner. Winners don't cry when they lose and when they suck. Losers blame everyone else. You're a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pearl on the Bench. We bring in the great Joe Lisi now from College Football Today. I can't keep track of this guy. He's a rock star. The last time he was supposed to be on with me was, I think, the Thursday before Thanksgiving, and I was, it was my last show before I was off for Thanksgiving. And one thing led to another, and we couldn't get him on the air. Something was wrong. We had like technical difficulties, and I literally had a conniption. I remember when we couldn't get him on the air. And then, like, I remember, Carver, do you remember, like, how much, like, because I think I swore for, like, about a half an hour straight. And
yes, it was at least
kicked
a half
over
hour
some things.
We love having Joe on every Thursday before the games.
I threw things across the room. I was cussing, yelling, screaming. And then you promised me, you said, I'll have him on tomorrow night when I'm hosting the show for you. I promise I'll get him on, because I was so mad that he wasn't on that I started drinking again for the first time in 15 years. Started drinking Johnny Gold. How you doing, Joe?
Scotty, happy belated Thanksgiving to you. And I wish I had that effect on all the women. I tell you, you know, I only have it on my friends at Sports Grid.
That's not true, Joe. I hear that you do have that effect on women. There's a lot of women talking about you. My wife was getting her nails done the other day at the Manny Petty place, and there was a lot of women in there talking about you. So you got a lot going for you with the ladies that you just don't know about. You just don't think they're talking about you. They're talking about you good, bad, indifferent. There's a lot of talk about Joe Lisi. All right, here's your let me look at first of all, and I got a lot to talk to you about here tonight. I want to look at your picks here real quick because Carver High just sent them to me. So here we go. Killing it overall in the season and killing it not only with overall record, but best picks, killing it, just absolutely killing it. Way over 500 in both of them. At least seven picks in overall and then at least four more on the best picks. So nothing but winners. The best picks this week, Virginia laying 6.5 against BC, West Virginia getting 7 from Iowa State, and LSU getting that big number, 28.5. I think it went to 29 something against Alabama. Why don't we start with that? What in your right mind gives you the feeling that LSU will hang with Alabama based on the fact that LSU sucks so bad?
Great points all around. Now, I think it comes down to the fact that Alabama played Auburn last week, rivalry game. They blew out Bo Nix and the crew. Now they got to go on the road to face LSU. TJ Finley and that offense did not look good. Max Johnson actually led the team on the only touchdown drive of the game in the last minute. But that LSU defense, the secondary in particular, is playing very well. Last 2 weeks, they held Arkansas and A&M to 2-26. On third down conversions. The only way LSU can win this game, Scotty, is if they slow down the tempo, run the football with Emory and Davis Price, sustain drives, ball control attack, and I think they can do it. Playing at home in a rivalry game, I think they get up for this. This is the only game I think they get up for all year, and I think they can keep it within the 29.5 as long as they don't turn the football over in this matchup.
So, you know, I don't know. I have watched them, and I think they I'll give you that with their secondary. Fair enough. Those numbers don't lie. So you must be right about that. But for some reason, like when I watch them play, because I've seen them on, you know, some games, and I think to myself, whose idea was it to put this team on national television today? Listen, they were great last year, and they deserve all the accolades, national championship, Ed Orgeron making the fat money now. But I think, you know, they lost so much to the NFL. They just don't matter to me at all. They just literally don't matter to me at all. What makes you think what brings you to that conclusion with West Virginia against Iowa State? Like, Iowa State's going to win that conference, aren't they? And now all of a sudden you think the Mountaineers are going to give them problems?
Yeah, I do. Here are a couple of reasons why. Now, from the series perspective, Iowa State's won two straight by 20 points per game, won this matchup 38-14 last year, dominated them. But West Virginia didn't play Oklahoma last week, so they have that extra week of preparation. They're not banged up. They go on the road. Their front seven playing very well, Scotty, one of the best in the Big 12, holding the opposing offenses to 112 rushing yards per game. That's actually the strength of Iowa State. It's not Brock Purdy. It's the rushing attack with Breece Hall. When Texas shut them down in the first half, they were one-dimensional. I think West Virginia, same type of defensive game plan. They're opportunistic, forced turnovers, and they do have 22 total sacks on the year. So their quarterback as well, Jarrett Nagy, doesn't turn the football over, and they're pounding the rock for 165 on the ground. I think it's going to be a very close game, a lot closer than last year. Plus the 7 points, I think they're playing with house money.
You know, and I think I'm on BC to beat Virginia. What makes you like Virginia this week?
Well, just so you know, 0-6 overall against Boston College. That line opened up at 6.5. I already took Virginia minus the 6.5. It's down to 3.5, and that's one of the reasons why. I just think when I look at Boston College, quality win over Louisville last week, but they haven't beat a team with a winning record, and to me, they struggle against disciplined defenses. That's what Bronco Mendenhall have. They're a very athletic defensive front led by Charles Snowden. 28 total sacks. I like Brennan Armstrong, too. He's averaging around 256 total yards through the air. They have some playmakers on offense. I think all things being considered, both teams replicate each other, but Virginia is a better team. They recruit a little bit better. On the road, I don't know if Djokovic could do it as well. He got banged up at the end of that matchup against Louisville. Grossel's a significant drop-off. I like Virginia to dominate this game. I think they win this ball game 10 points or more.
So I have to ask you, Joe, let's go to the Ohio State situation. First of all, mm-hmm. I want to say that one of the stories that bothered me was the Herb Street comments about Michigan waving the white flag and blowing off the Ohio State game next week. And I said on Coast to Coast the other day that if Michigan did that and they actually pulled out of the Ohio State game, I said that I don't think that Michigan would ever, I mean, literally ever live it down. I mean, for the rest of time on civilization on Earth, I think that they would never live down if they pulled out of an Ohio State game because they, A, were as bad as they are, B, had all their problems that they have with COVID or whatever else. Fair enough. I get it. Games are being canceled left and right. But Michigan cannot pull out of the game against Ohio State no matter what. They are better served going and getting their ass beat than pulling out. That would be the biggest femme move I've ever seen in my life in a rivalry as big as Michigan-Ohio State. If they didn't go play that game, honestly, they might as well fold up shop and never play football again. That's how bad I think that decision would be. Now, I know the guy pulled back on his comments and apologized, which I wouldn't have done either. I wouldn't have apologized for saying that. I would have just said it and then lived with it, because I think Kirk Herbstreit does a great job doing football games and doing game day. I think the guy's really good at what he does, and he said it, and I think he said it because he's a Buckeye. I think he said it because he's still got Ohio State running through his veins, and that's all there is to it. And I think he loves the fact that Ohio State kicks Michigan's ass every year. But Michigan cannot miss that game, Joe.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, isn't that what Jim Harbaugh built in Ann Arbor, right? The intensity, the blue-collar work ethic, the ability that the Big Ten is better than Alabama and Nick Saban and the SEC. So now you're going to back out of a rivalry game because you're under 500 and the kids aren't buying in. No, I agree with that 100% in terms of if Michigan doesn't play this game and they back out of the rivalry, they'll live it down for years to come. If Jim Harbaugh is there or not, from a recruiting aspect, kids aren't going to want to go to Michigan. They're going to want to go to Ohio State, right? So that's what's going to happen if Michigan pulls out, especially if Ohio State misses out on the college football playoffs, Scotty. So I couldn't agree with you more. I do agree about Kirk Herbstreit. I have no problem with him stepping up and saying that, but he is a homer in the sense of he bleeds Ohio State, you know, colors. We know that. Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, he's always giving them, you know, a pat on the back. He doesn't do that with the other teams in the Big Ten. So I agree with him saying it, but, you know, at the end of the day, we know who he's for. He loves Ohio State through and through. I have his games back on 1991 when he was playing with Carlos Snow in the 1991 Hall of Fame game against Syracuse. That was the only time he got in a matchup is when Ohio State was dominating.
Right, because he never mattered.
And, yeah, he didn't. He backed up Kent Graham back in the day.
Right. They used to, you know, let's face facts. They have all kinds of guys that are on TV, and I think they do a great job with sports. Don't get me wrong. And with, you know, live sports and college hoops and college football and NFL and everything they do, I think they do a great job. But one thing I don't think they do a great job with is, frankly, picking people, because I don't understand. You bring in all these guys that are former players, and 90% of them sucked. Like they have all these guys that never mattered, never played. They sucked, and when they did play, they were worse than sucked. They were awful. Like Dan Ostrowski or whatever his name is. When did that guy ever do anything, ever? I mean, honest to Christ, he was terrible. Now all of a sudden, he's a genius. Like, where do they find these people, man? Is there some island I don't know about where crappy players get television jobs? I mean, honestly.
Unbelievable, Scotty. I don't know. I mean, Dan Orlovsky, back in the day when he played, he was a good college player, but when he went to the Lions, he was terrible.
No, he was. He was never good at anything. Honestly. Nothing. I don't even know him, so I can say these things without any repercussion. What's he going to beat me up? I'll beat his ass. 6'4", 20. I don't know how big he is. We'll come back with Joe Lisi and talk bad about other people. All right, Saturday night, this Saturday the 5th, mark it on your calendars. I know what you should do with all the college football games that get canceled. How about this? You don't have to worry because Errol the Truth Spence is fighting Danny Swift Garcia at Jerry's World in Dallas at Arlington AT&T Stadium. And we've seen Errol Spence fight many times live. We were at Jerry's World to see him beat Mikey Garcia when Mikey went up in weight and Errol kicked his ass. I did want to say one thing about that fight that I was at. I ate 5 buckets of just buttered, salted ass popcorn. I mean, it was just fantastic. And I was eating it with these 2 hot chicks. And Carver High, God is my witness. He knows it's true. I ate 5 buckets of it. Not only that, I brought the bucket home. I have the Jerry's World Stadium bucket that looks like the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And it's just the greatest popcorn bowl ever. And I watched 5 buckets of it as I watched Errol Spence just rock Mikey Garcia's face for like an hour. He just kept punching him in the face. And I kept eating popcorn. And I had these hot chicks all over me. And I was like, what's up, girl? You want some buttery popcorn with Uncle Futrelli? They're like, we love you, Pharrell. I'm like, watch this guy. He's going to punch the other girl right in the face. Boom, he hit him again. And then now he's fighting Danny Garcia. And I went to see Garcia lose to Keith Thurman. Then I went to see him lose to Sean Porter. Now I'm going to go watch him lose to Errol Spence. Order the fight on pay-per-view and you'll see Errol the Truth work a number on Danny Garcia's face on Saturday night from Dallas. You're going to love it. Great undercard too. Order the fight. PBC, Fox pay-per-view, Spence, Garcia, Saturday night. Check it out. You'll dig it. All right, we're talking to Joe Lisi about college football, and I'm also spending a great deal of time in the interview talking bad about people. Hey, Joe, do you think, all right, so we know that everyone's riding the fact that Ohio State is short of games, and then they get into the first playoff rankings, and people are like, they're not playing enough games, they don't deserve to be there. But the facts remain is that A&M is a poser, and so is Florida. Unless Florida beats Alabama, I still put Ohio State in that four. What do you do?
Yeah, I don't do it just yet. I don't like the way the defense is playing. They got exposed by Michael Penix. Now, if they tighten it up against Michigan State in another game against Michigan, if they play, I'm all for Ohio State, you know, being in the playoff if they're playing better defensively. Right now, Scotty, I can't put them in. I think they're number five. I would put Florida ahead of both Texas A&M and Ohio State right now. I think they're playing the best, and if they played on a neutral field, I think Florida would win that matchup right here today.
Do you think Ohio State will handle their business and the 24 spot in East Lansing against Sparty?
I do, because Michigan State, and I was on them last week, plus the 13.5, does not have the speed on the perimeter to challenge the Buckeye secondary the way Indiana did. I mean, Michigan State's a one-dimensional offense. Ohio State rolled them last year in Columbus, put up over 200 yards rushing. Won this game convincingly in the interior. I don't see a change in this matchup with Rocky Lombardi. I think Ohio State wins this game by 30.
Do you think Notre Dame, if they play Clemson in the ACC title game, which they are, with Trevor Lawrence, will Notre Dame beat them? And will the committee keep them separate in the playoff if they, which it looks like they'll both make the playoff, even if Notre Dame loses in the ACC title game, you got them going to the playoff, because there's no getting around, in my opinion. If they were to lose that game to Clemson, they already beat them once, even without him. The kid that filled in for Lawrence played great. I think Notre Dame deserves to be in the playoff. They're one of the best four teams in college football, hands down.
I do. I agree with you. I think right now, if they played on a neutral field, I think Clemson will win a close game, but this is not the same Clemson team as we've seen in recent years. Biggest difference is that offensive line. They're not running the football effectively. They only rushing for 149 per game. Last year, they averaged 250. So just think about that for a second. That's 100 rushing yards more per game in 2019 than they are this year. And that's why they're struggling. So they only have one game this year where they rush for over 200. They had 33 games from 2016 to 2019 where they rush for over 200. They're 33-0 in all of those games. They had one game this year. That was the game against Miami. So I think they could be D. I don't think they're a dominant team. They're one of the top four teams with Trevor Lawrence. But if Notre Dame loses the ACC championship game by 7 points or less, in my opinion, I think they deserve to be in the college football playoff.
And what if they lose by 14 to Clemson? You think they don't deserve to be in the playoff?
I think they deserve. I would say, I would make the argument, it all depends on what Florida does in the SEC championship game. I would make the argument that they deserve to be there. I just don't know if the committee would put them in if they lost against Trevor Lawrence by double digits because of the perception factor. The perception, and I agree with you, DJU, he filled in and did exactly probably what Trevor Lawrence would have did. The only difference is that on that last drive, his inexperience showed through, where I think maybe Lawrence could have extended the game. They might have still lost, but I think that's the difference when you break down that matchup in South Bend. So you know, all things considered, I think the perception factor of Notre Dame losing to Trevor Lawrence by double digits would kick them out.
All right, so real quick, do they spank Syracuse this week in South Bend?
Yeah, I think they do, but it wouldn't shock me if Syracuse somehow, some way covers this big number. It's just such a huge number, 32 after Notre Dame, you know, had that emotional win over North Carolina. Extra days of preparation, but that could be a detriment for a team that's just got their sights set on the college football playoff. Notre Dame wins, but I would take the 32.5 with the Cuse.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely. I'm going the same way there. Let me ask you a question. So Indiana loses by 7 or whatever to Ohio State, and then In the Maryland game, I think it was the Maryland game that Penix got hurt and popped his ACL. He's done for the year. Now they play at Camp Randall in Madtown with this backup Tuttle, whatever his name is. He's had like five snaps. Is Indiana's season going down the drain now after Penix's injury? Because my guess is they get spanked in Madtown.
Yeah, I'm with you. They get spanked, but it's not because of Tuttle. Tuttle was a five-star recruit when he came there, got beat out by Peyton Ramsey. He started before a couple of years ago. He has experience in the system. He's just not a mobile, athletic quarterback like Michael Penix. This game's going to be won in the interior. Wisconsin's going to run at will on them in terms of the front seven. It's going to be a very low-scoring, in my opinion, meaning like a methodical game for Wisconsin. I think they win this matchup maybe 35-14 in that area. I just don't know if Indiana starts fast because of Tuttle.
But Indiana has a really good defense, despite the numbers they gave up to Ohio State. Everyone that plays Ohio State gets that kind of lunch served to them.
Yep. It's a little bit different with Ohio State. Ohio State spreads you out with the RPO, in terms of Justin Fields. They're going to line up in the I formation and run right at you between the A and B gaps with Nakia Watson. And these guys, the offensive line for Wisconsin, 330 plus, that's the difference with Ohio State. They want to get their playmakers out in space. Wisconsin wants to put a heavy formation and run it right down your throat. I think they get worn down by second half. They're going to be dying in this matchup.
Yeah, that sucks. I feel terrible for Penix, and I think Allen's done such a great job at Indiana. I went to IU. This is the first time since my senior year in '87 when they actually beat Ohio State, beat Michigan, and Bill Mallory was the coach. This is the first time they've been good, and to have this great team have that injury to their star quarterback, it just is devastating. Let me ask you about Miami. You know, I'm a Canes fan, even though I went to Indiana. I've been a Canes fan for 40 years. Do you, they're ranked 10th. I think they're really tough. They're 7-1. I know they lost to Clemson, whatever, but they ended up because of the schedule and canceled games with Wake or whatever. They're playing Duke. Do you expect them to go to Durham and kick Duke's ass?
Yeah, I can't see any reason why not. The extra weeks of preparation, the fact that Duke gave up 377 rushing yards to Georgia Tech, only rushed for 61 in that matchup. This is an athletic defense by Miami. De'Ara King should have a huge game. I'm not playing this game. The only reason why is traditionally, and you know this, right? Miami struggles when they go to Duke for some reason. They win games, but sometimes they lost that game in terms of that crazy kickoff. Remember, they just struggled at Duke. So, and it's just a crazy number, 14.5. They bet it down. That I don't like the line movement actually in that matchup. It opened up at 16.5. It's down to 14.5. I think Miami should roll, but I'm staying away from the game. I don't like the movement in the line right now.
So Clemson in Blacksburg, no problem there for Clemson with the 22 spot?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, if this was maybe earlier in the year, I would buy into Virginia Tech because of their ability to run the football with Khalil Herbert and Hendon Hooker. This team is gassed right now. Defensively, they're giving up chunk plays in terms of the rushing attack. ETN could have a big day. Clemson on the road. No fans really in Blacksburg. I think they roll. I mean, I think the team has actually sort of quit on Justin Fuente there. A lot of pressure on him to step up. I don't know if he could do it.
Do you think he'll get fired?
Yeah, he should. I mean, think about this. When in one of his first years there, he had Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game against Clemson. He's regressed every year since that ACC championship game.
So what do you think this BYU Coastal Carolina game's turning into the game of the day?
Yeah, it is. I like Coastal there. I mean, I think, on paper, you give the edge to the physicality of BYU and the experience of Zach Wilson. But this team with C.J. Maribel and Grayson McCall playing as a freshman, 20 touchdowns, one interception. They're rushing for 222 on the ground. They're converting 54% on third down conversions, and they're +8 in turnover margin. Playing at home, +9.5. Give me Coastal. I don't know if the travel, the short week in terms of preparation, I don't know. I think that could weigh on BYU. They might win, But I'll take the 9.5 as a gimme at home with Coastal. They stepped up against App State, a very physical team as well.
Florida, by the way, Air Force just scored again. It's going to be 28-7 on Utah State on the road. Air Force is up, and they just put it in again. Florida's at Tennessee. The only thing we've already talked about the Gators, but do they cover that big piece on the road at Neyland?
I think they do. You know, Kyle Trask, front runner for the Heisman. They need style points. They need him to have a huge day. And where's this team with Jeremy Pruitt? Garantano cannot match them score for score. Secondary's playing atrocious. Haven't forced an interception. They quit basically 2 weeks ago against Auburn. I'm selling this team the rest of the year.
So let me ask you this question, Joe, real quick. Last question. I got under a minute. Real quick. The game tomorrow night's actually kick ass. Louisiana, the Cajuns against Appalachian State in Carolina.
Yep.
And App State two and a hook. Those teams are really good. Louisiana's 8-1 and App State 7-2. I got about 40 seconds.
I like Lafayette plus the 3. They're rushing for 228 on the ground. Levi Lewis, Elijah Mitchell. And that secondary, Scotty, only giving up 175. Passing yards per game. Give me UL Lafayette plus the 2.5. I like them on the money line as well. I think they're a battle-tested group.
What I'm hearing is rumors have it that we're going to get 6 inches of snow in New York on Saturday, and Joe Lisi's already got some chick coming over to his pad to spend the night. Looks like she's going to get snowed in, not only with the weather, but with Joe's rhetoric. Joe, have fun with that hottie. I'll see you next week on the bench.
You too, Scotty. Love the show.
That's my guy, Joe Lisi. He's a badass. We'll come back and wrap it up. I just tried to do a little, like, you know, Ramones, and then, like, I got dizzy, and then that was the end of it. Like, it was like a 5-second dizzy spell. It's not a good sign. Just so you know, Sunday night, they're playing that Washington State USC game at 7:30 East on FS1. So that game was supposed to be tomorrow night on Friday night. There's none of that. So tomorrow night, the real good game is Louisiana and App State. That's happening. And then Sunday, you got Western Kentucky and Charlotte. I'd rather be in a police car than watch that game. And then Saturday, just some other games of note. Baylor and Oklahoma, I think, is going to be a good game. Oklahoma's laying 22. They really turned around their season. You got to give them credit because they were losing. And then now they're 6-2. They're laying 22 to Baylor. South Carolina and Kentucky are playing. Is there anything funnier than, like, people that think that South Carolina and Kentucky matter in football every year? And they're so awful. South Carolina's 2-7. Kentucky's 3-6. You both suck. Have a nice day. You're terrible in football. Terrible. It really is bad. San Jose State playing Hawaii on Saturday, and they're still undefeated, but they've only played 4 games. We're having an undefeated season. COVID, 4-0. Nice job. Stanford and Washington playing. I'm just looking if there's any other good games. Iowa and Illinois. Now, there's a game. I think Iowa wins, but that number, 13 and a hook, I like Illinois and Champaign because they've gotten better. They're 2-3, but Lovey's got them playing better. I think they can cover the number. We talked about West Virginia and Iowa State. There's a ton of MAC games that they're squeezing in on Saturday, and you name it. Tomorrow, Coast to Coast, we'll break down all the NFL games. We'll have Adam Kaplan on. We'll get into college football again on C2C, you name it. We'll talk more about Spence and Garcia Saturday night in Dallas. Air Force up 28-7 right now. Sports Rage is next. Be cool. Peace.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.